Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Great to have you here as always. My guest today is Julie George from Million Dollar Host. Julie runs an incredible property management business through Airbnb, and it's a wonderful business that she's got some great lessons that are directly applicable for dental practice. Now, of course, this is not the average type of business. Of course, it's a bit left field, but there's so many lessons in here about marketing, about team that, you know, Julie's been through that she shares so openly and freely that are directly applicable to dental practice. There's a ton of, you know, value in this conversation. Now, before we get to Julie, I just want to mention that if you happen to own a dental practice, you're going to want to come along and join the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. And you can get there by heading across to drjessegreen.com/Facebook and join the group. And in that group, you'll find a community of dental owners where we share some training, some tips, and some tools there to help you not just grow your practice, but to scale your practice. If you want to earn more money, have more time, create, you know, high-performing teams, all of that sort of material there is what we're sharing. So if you're a dental practice owner, head across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group, and we'd love to see you there. But now, as I said, we're going to be talking to Julie. As I said, this is an incredible business. It's a business that's gone from a small little, you know, seedling of a business to a great big business that she was able to exit very successfully. And we share some great stories in this episode. And what Julie talks about, as I said, is how to market your business, how to be an expert, how to create teams, how to create accountability, and some wonderful things in here that I know that if you listen to and apply, of course, then yeah, you're going to get some great value from it. If you want to grab a copy of her book, Million Dollar Host, head across to the website of the same name, milliondollarhost.com.au, and you can find out a whole lot more there. But for now, here's Julie. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed it. Julie, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have you here. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. What an opportunity.
Oh, look, I've been looking forward to talking to you because you've got an incredible business background, business story, which we'll dive into in a moment, but you've built a multi-million dollar portfolio of properties using Airbnb as a platform. You've run agencies. You've done it all in that space. And ladies and gents listening to this, it might feel that that's not the normal topic that we'd have, you know, for the Savvy Dentist Podcast. But what I've been so impressed with is your business acumen. The lessons that you've learned in building your business are so directly relevant to dental practice and indeed every business. And so firstly, congratulations on such a wonderful business success. And I'm really looking forward to learning how you did it and what you did in that journey. So it should be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it and happy to share my secrets. I'm a bit of an oversharer, so let's do it.
Oh, you and me both. You and me both. Before the end of this episode, we'll be sharing our heart and souls with everyone.
Blood type, you know, bank account details.
Or PIN number, you know. Anyway, look, I'm just wondering, Julie, if we could start off by just giving the audience a bit of an overview of your business using Airbnb, because it is a little bit of an out-of-the-box type of business, and I love that. So could you share a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. My favorite story to tell is, I guess, April 2016, if we cast our mind back, which is only 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Look, I had a one-bedroom apartment in the Cairns region, just on the city fringe, fully furnished, had a tenant in it for a long time. They just happened to move out. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try this Airbnb, see what all the fuss is about. What is the, you know, everyone's talking about Airbnb. It's so great. You can make so much money. So look, simply, I just put some linen in the property, connected the Wi-Fi, turned the power on into my name, took some fancy photos, popped it up on Airbnb, and very, very quickly turned my $240 long-term rental income into $600 a week. So, you know, and I guess that was when my aha moment, my light bulb moment went off and my entrepreneurial brain started ticking over. And I thought, right, there is a market here for people, property investors, homeowners, people that want to list their property on Airbnb, but maybe don't have the time, don't have the skills and don't have that knowledge to be able to put a property up on Airbnb and successfully market it, but not only successfully market it, but be able to run the day-to-day runnings of a property. I mean, the, you know, cleaning toilets, making beds, although the non-glamorous side of it. So what I did was then created a business called Host My Home, mm-hmm. and a bit of a one-of-a-kind for Australia. Airbnb property management companies had already taken off over in America and the European areas. Australia, we're a little bit behind sometimes when it comes to these things, but I decided to give it a good old crack. And in Cairns, I was very quickly able to establish myself as the expert on Airbnb in the region. And that's probably one of the things we can come back to about establishing yourself as being the expert and driving traction and business through that marketing. But then I was able to build up this business very, very quickly. Within 2.5 years, I had 130 properties that I was managing, had bought in over $8 million in Airbnb bookings alone, which is absolutely blows minds, because that sort of figure is not seen anywhere else around the world. So for a girl to do it from little old Cairns, Queensland, is quite a phenomenon. So built the business, sold the business 6 months before COVID hit. Now, how's that for timing?
That's pretty good timing, isn't it?
Go into the psychic business, sold the business purely because I had written a book about the growth of the story behind building a business on Airbnb, my own personal story, and also sharing the secrets and wisdom with other entrepreneurs wanting to build a business in the sharing economy. So book had taken off, speaking gigs all around the world, exciting consultation opportunities, and somebody knocking on my door with a big fat check to buy my business. So naturally, put the business across to somebody else. And now, well, I'm living a life on Zoom lately, but I should be in Israel at the moment talking at a conference, and I've got people paying for my expertise all around the world. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow. Well, it's a really fascinating story, and there's so many threads that I'd like to just, you know, explore, and it's like a bit of a jumper. You pull a thread and see what unravels and see where we go. So there's quite a few threads I'd like to talk about there. I want to just talk about the marketing for a second. We'll come back to the expert status, because I think that's really important for dentists as well. But $240 a week to a $600 a week is a significant jump. And whether it's, I think it's got to be more than just going onto a different platform. There's more to it than just going, oh, I went from having a private rental to an Airbnb. Therefore, ta-da, I know that there was a lot more to it than just that, than listing it on the site. So I wanted to ask you about the process of more than doubling that price. What did you have to do? Did you have to identify markets? Who was your ideal renter or guest? Who was your ideal guest? And then how did you, go through that process? Because to me, this is a great marketing lesson.
It is. And I know it sounds like I'm simplifying it a hell of a lot, and there must be some deep-seated secrets there to be able to identify markets, be able to target those markets. Mm. I've got to tell you, Jesse, it's probably as simple as I'm making it sounds. It was purely, and I've seen the success with Airbnb and short-term rentals over and over and over, just working with that industry and talking to people on Facebook, or Facebook is it, because that's all I can use, but talking to friends and family, they've also seen the same sort of experience. Just being able to offer up, I mean, the property itself, there's nothing flash. It's just a one-bedroom property. It just has the cooking facilities. There is a car parking space. It's close to town, so the proximity to the city was within 5 minutes walk, which is always important. But I knew that it was going to be able to attract not only travellers and people looking for a bargain, so people looking for a property under $100 a night. So I think we were at $95 a night we were sitting at when I first started. And that's a pretty good bargain when you compare what you would pay for a hotel or a serviced apartment. Mm. $95 a night for a one bedroom, fully furnished, fully equipped, free Wi-Fi, smart TV. Yeah, it is a bargain. And that's, I guess, what the attraction is with Airbnb. So it wasn't just attracting the tourists and the travelers, but also the business people. And at the moment, well, in the last few years, we've actually seen a lot of medical staff wanting to use the Airbnb, that one in particular, because of the proximity to the hospitals. It's close to the airport. They know that they can come in. And I guess we would offer extended stays. So we would have people come in for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, that type of thing. So it wasn't just the one night travelers, but people that were looking for something other than what real estate agents would normally offer, which is a 6 month lease at the very minimum.
Yes.
So it's that flexibility and being able to offer your clientele the flexible options. What does your target market want? How can you meet that? Well, what is the problem and what is the solution you can offer is, I guess, probably the best thing. So it's relevant for any business that's listening in right now. You know, same thing. You know, you've got to be able to find out what the target market is and what they're after and bring that solution to them.
Yeah. So in this case, so this is, again, it's a fantastic marketing lesson. So ladies and gents, if you're listening to this, it's about understanding who your ideal patient avatar is in this case, who your market is. What do they want when it comes to dentistry? What problems do they typically encounter when it comes to dentistry? And then how do you creatively solve those problems? And what, Julie, I'm hearing you say is one of the big problems was six monthly leases or long-term contracts or all these other things. And then again, people want to compare that to the hotel. So the problem you're solving is flexibility, you're solving cost, and you've been able to do that really creatively. And of course, going from 240 to 600, you have gone, you know, slightly more premium. So what I'm hearing you say then is you've had to create an experience then that reflects the price point.
Yeah, that's right, Jesse. I guess the one thing that differs Airbnb from a lot of other platforms is that users are looking for an experience, not just a stay. So the most successful Airbnbs that you'll ever find out in the marketplace are the wacky and the unique experiences. Let me tell you, the most popular Airbnb in Cairns right now is an igloo that is based on the beach, Trinity Beach.
Yeah.
They had all these, I don't know who came up with the concept because they've been there for years, but they're one-bedroom igloos and there's about six of them on the Trinity Beach foreshore. Now, weird, wacky, but spot on for a trendy product like Airbnb where people are wanting to stay in a treehouse. They're wanting to sleep on a yacht. They're wanting to stay in an igloo. So I guess if you can create that experience for them, you've got a big box that gets ticked right there. And even better, you can charge that premium price. So I guess with my property, the first one that I started with, it was really about just making sure that it covered everything for a traveler, but also a business traveler, having that free Wi-Fi, having the smart television, having a coffee machine. Simply by putting a coffee machine into your property, you can charge another $10 per night. Yeah, now, that's quickly going to pay off that coffee machine.
Very quickly.
You know, you can add on little things. You might be able to provide breakfast. Now, I didn't do that because that's not my thing, but you might be able to offer airport transfers. You might be able to offer a bicycle. So, you know, suddenly you can become this instant hotel manager and your creative brain can go absolutely nuts with it being the opportunities that you could offer.
So, again, I really like that. How can you creatively add value that doesn't cost a lot of money? And how can you, you know, it's about the experience. It's about the perception. I'm loving the igloos on the beach. I think that's just so great.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, and I hadn't even thought of the yacht either. I mean, what a great way.
Anyway, if you've got anything that you can sleep on, and I was actually thinking, how am I going to tie my business in with the dental industry? Look, if you're a dentist out there and you're not a 24/7 dentist and you have a
Airbnb dentist chair available
at night, why not? In fact, one of the most interesting things I just saw recently was a Blockbuster video chain who had almost gone out of business in the United States. They turned themselves into an Airbnb. They offered that you can watch as many videos as you want or DVDs. You can eat all the popcorn and all the ice cream that you can shove into your mouth. And, of course, they were charging something like $400 a night for having the privilege of sleeping in a Blockbuster. Imagine what you could do with a dental practice.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not sure it's quite got the same appeal. But anyway, I'm sure there'll be someone out there creatively doing that. But let's talk about this because, you know, one property is one thing. To go from one property up to a whole agency, that's a whole nother level, right? That's $8 million worth of revenue. You've then had to build a team. You've then had to scale that up. You've had to understand all of that. So help me understand the process that you went through from going, hey, this one property thing is going all right. I'm going to now build a business. What were the learnings in that experience?
Yeah, look, I guess my philosophy is the KISS, keep it simple, stupid philosophy.
Yep.
And purely because I don't like to overcomplicate anything. Mm. Overcomplication of a business puts stress on yourself, and I don't need that. Mm. Thank you very much. So simply, it was as simple as, look, I got up to about 10 properties that I was managing, Jesse, and I was doing the messaging, I was doing the meeting and greeting of every guest, I was cleaning the properties. And I think one day I had made 17 beds in a row. And I think my patience and my enthusiasm was starting to wane for
understandably. Yep.
And it occurred to me that I need some help.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest issue that I find with businesses when they get to that level where they are burning out themselves is to be able to physically step back and also financially step back. Because when you put on a new team member or a new employee, yeah, it's going to cost you. But do you know what? I'm not once regretted taking that step back to go forward. When I got to 10 properties, I decided I needed some help, and I really needed some help in the day-to-day managing of the business, because I realized to work on my business, not in it, I needed to be able to have a clear head. I needed to be able to pass over the aspects of my business that maybe I wasn't so great at. Now, I'm not the best cleaner in the world, so that was certainly on top of my list to pass across to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up hiring a gentleman by the name of Glenn. Now, Glenn was 72 when he came to me at the end of his advertising career. We had worked together selling phone book advertising for many years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Does anyone remember a phone book?
Yeah, I know. Those funny old things. Yeah, exactly.
I think they've been mostly used for toilet paper just recently. But
yep.
But once upon a time, that was how you advertised your dental practice and got people in the door. Unfortunately, that's run its course. So Glenn at 72 came to me and he said, Julie, I'm not ready to give up work. I really want to still earn the big bucks. And I want to do something that's interesting. So I said to him, well, how about I give you the 10 properties that I have just got on as a management? How about I give those to you to look after? You manage them. You look after all the messaging. You look after the cleaning. You meet and greet the guests, and you take care of those 10 properties like they're your own. He was rapt. He thought that was fantastic. What we did was I paid him a set fee for every property. But then I also did a profit share. I paid him a commission on every property. Now, that resulted in a couple of things. It freed up my time, firstly, so I was able to go out and get more and more properties and keep building my business. But secondly, it gave Glenn his own little business.
Mm.
He had ownership over these properties. He had a sense of pride over these properties. He wanted to extend people's stay because he knew the longer they stayed, the more money they spent, the more money was in his pocket.
Mm.
And he had endless opportunity to make money. So it was a real win-win. And that formula, that simple formula of being able to delegate and give a person or give your team member ownership, give them an opportunity to manage their own tasks. Look, the loyalty, what you get back from that little exercise is just incredible. And I've got to say, even though I've sold my business, I know Glenn is still there at 75. He must be turning this year.
Yep.
He's earning about $2,000 a week with that little opportunity. He gets to meet and greet people from all over the world, flirt with women from all over the world, drives them down to the local bottle shop as well. So, of course, he gets fantastic reviews on Airbnb, and he has a new sense of life. So it's actually given him a great opportunity to, yeah, still earn a lot of money, even in the crazy times we live in now.
That's fantastic. And again, I just want to pick up on this point because you said something I think that was really, really profound. And I just want to emphasize this point because we use a slightly different metaphor, but it's the same thing. And that is to step back in order to go forward. I believe that a lot of dentists understand that they want to scale up, they want to add more people, but the stepping back to go forward part is where they typically struggle. I don't want to give up the patience. I don't want to give up the income for the moment. But there is, I call it a gear shift, and it's a bit like when you're driving your car, you've got to be able to take your foot off the accelerator slightly in order to be able to engage the clutch and change gears and then re-accelerate. And taking your foot off the accelerator a little bit does tend
scary.
It's scary, right? And so they go back to what they know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's super hard. I think one of the hardest things you'll find in business, regardless of what industry, is delegation and trusting others to do the job just as well as you can do. You've just got to give it up. You've got to be able to take that step back. You've got to trust in others. And I promise you that risk or that motion of stepping back, it will pay off. And it's paid off every time that I've ever done it.
I think I absolutely agree. And I want to just touch on that because, you know, obviously, you know, you'd had a past experience with Glenn. You knew Glenn, you knew his details, but not everyone has a Glenn in their life, obviously, right? And Glenn, if you're listening, yeah, there's plenty of people who'd probably like to talk to you. But all jokes aside, obviously, you had to go beyond Glenn as well, right? So, right.
You know, Glenn, how do you find them?
How do you find them? How do you have faith and trust and confidence to then go, okay, I'm gonna trust you to do this?
And it hasn't always worked out. Let me just put the little disclaimer in there that it hasn't worked out. But do you know what? It's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Look, simply when I needed to find more people, I would recognize what the most important skills were that I was looking for. And for that position, what I call a co-host, it was somebody that was able to clean. Firstly, they had to be an exceptional cleaner, have a great eye for detail. So that was the sort of first person that I was looking for. And I would always advertise saying, are you a cleaner? Okay. And then the second point was, are they entrepreneurial? Do they have ambition? Are they wanting to learn more? And are they wanting to grow a business of their own? So it was finding that X factor. Now, I would interview quite a few people that were cleaners. They lacked the X factor. They were happy earning their $20 an hour. You could just see that there was just no drive. There was no enthusiasm. But occasionally when I found somebody who just had that X factor, and even if they were a bit of a mediocre cleaner, I could train that. I could actually get them out there with the Glens or with the other people of the world that were working for me that were exceptional cleaners to show them what standards we expected. It was finding that X factor and finding, I don't know, I'm sure I probably should have done reference checks, but it was just a gut feel. Anybody who I thought, right, somebody has that spark, somebody has asked the right questions, yeah, let's give them a go. And the beauty of the way that I had it set up was as a contractor, I was taking them on. And it's very difficult working at contractor employee differences. So please, people, if you are thinking of going down that path, consult your lawyers first.
Because hot topic in dentistry, that one.
Yes, it's an expensive exercise if you haven't. And I did learn my lesson a little bit the hard way on one situation, but another story. But look, the beauty of it was they were getting paid a set fee, they were getting a commission from me, and it was all relevant. Sorry, it was all relating back to those reviews on Airbnb. So the guests were telling me what they thought of the property in cleanliness. Did the host turn up on time? What was the communication like? And very quickly, I could evaluate and sort of assess whether they were doing a good job or not. So it was very easy for me, if they weren't doing a good job, to sort of say, look, I don't think this is the right role for you. We'll move you on to something else. But occasionally, and I'm just going to brag about another young lady that I employed because I'm so proud of this lady. Her name is Natalie. She came to me. She was studying. She was doing some PT at the time. She just wanted something more. You know, she was that sort of hungry. She was a young, early 20s. She was hungry for an opportunity. She just hadn't been given an opportunity. So along comes Julie with the Airbnb concept. Natalie, would you like to do some cleaning? I mean, it wasn't the top of her wish list for sure, but she just could see the opportunity in it. Look, within 6 months, Natalie had grown a portfolio. She was so organized and so strategic with her business mind that within 6 months, she wasn't on the tools cleaning anymore. She had employed people underneath her. We had, at one stage, she had 23 properties. She was bringing in $4,000 to $5,000 a week with her share of the business.
Great.
And she had employed her mum and her auntie. They were doing all the cleaning. Natalie was simply running around checking the properties, making sure that they were up to standard because she knew it was her ass on the line, excuse the French. But,
but
the buck stopped with her because if I saw a negative review, it was Natalie that I would come chasing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She Aunt Cookie, she knew that she could actually grow a business underneath my umbrella. And she did.
Well, which I really love that. Now, a couple of things I just want to talk about there is, you know, people with hunger, people with drive, you know, those people that are looking for opportunities, you know, I believe that part of our role as business owners is to be able to give people those opportunities for advancement. And you're quite right. There's a big difference between someone like that versus someone who just wants the $20 an hour kind of return. It's a totally different mindset. So what I really just want to ask you about is, firstly, with Natalie, do you have any thoughts where people like Natalie might be found? I mean, or was there just a good dollop of luck in there as well?
A little bit of a dollop of luck, but it certainly what you've got to do, and I see that not enough people do this, is ask. You've got to put it out there on social media. You've got to talk to your friends, your family. Let them know what you're looking for. Let them know that you are chasing somebody with that X factor. Sometimes you have to poach them. And I know that's a terrible thing to do, but look, if you see some skill and some talent in maybe the local waitress and you can identify that she has got something to offer, go and have a chat to her. You know, you just never know where you will find these people, but the first thing is you've got to know what you're looking for, and then you've got to put it out there. And they will, I don't know, I believe that they will present themselves when you need them. And I know that sounds a bit airy-fairy, but it works, and you will find your Natalie if you look hard enough.
Absolutely. And I think it's about being opportunity focused, isn't it? It's about, you know, looking at every interaction that you go through as an opportunity to meet someone new, to uncover a diamond in the rough or whatever it might be. So as you say, you know, it's about going to restaurants, cafes, wherever it is, you know, obviously in Melbourne or places like that, that's a little restricted at the moment. But, you know, for the rest of the people in Australia, they can do that. And I think that's really interesting to, I remember years and years ago, I have a background in network marketing, and it's where I learned to sell.
Yep.
And it was exactly the same. Everywhere you'd go, you'd be thinking, I wonder if this person is someone who's got a bit of drive and a bit of ambition. And I really like the fact that you've been able to articulate that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about creativity because, you know, your business was spawned out of creativity. And also identifying trends. And you obviously had the foresight to identify trends and to apply some creative thinking to that. So I guess I wanted to just get your thoughts around creativity in business, where what sort of, you know, role that's played in your life. And then again, understanding what trends you see might be the future.
Coming up. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, it's super exciting to think that the business model that I came up with was nothing new. Like when you break it down, there have been plenty of holiday vacation management platforms out there. The one thing that I did differently was I jumped onto the hot trend at the time, which was the word Airbnb.
Mm.
Okay. So it was simple as that. It was just being able to identify what was hot and what was the trendy word at the time. What were people looking for and what did people respond to? And it is, you know, at the moment, you look at things like Uber, you look at Uber Eats, and I guess here's another story for you. Anyone who has read my book will see that quite a few years ago, I created a business where it was called Shop and Deliver, and it was purely going out and getting McDonald's for people that were too drunk to get it themselves. It was going out and doing shopping for people that couldn't shop for themselves. I was probably a little way ahead of my time because now you've got Uber Eats and now you've got Coles Home Delivery. However, I think what is different with this business is that I was able to find a scalable model. It wasn't all dependent on myself going out and doing these jobs, you know, and creating a job for myself. But look at things, whatever is on trend at the moment. And we were just, before we started the recording, we were talking about TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, I confess to Jesse that in fact, you know, I don't know how to use TikTok to promote myself, but bloody hell, it's addictive. So I would look at something like a platform like TikTok and look, dentists out there, you know, if you've got something, a story to tell, and I have seen some TikToks with dental practices on there, you know, they're great. And I would love to go to a dental practice where I would see my favorite TikTok dental assistant who sings to their patients or they, you know, dance around the room or look, even a life in the day of the dentist, you know, I'd be curious. So look, it's as simple as being able to, can you get in front of the camera? Can you record yourself? Are you articulate? Can you be confident? And you just never know where that's going to lead.
Absolutely. I love the fact that you're always looking to that trend. And I think there's lots of trends coming down the pipeline in business and indeed in dentistry as well. And TikTok being one, probably won't see me dancing so much on TikTok. And I think we should all be grateful for that too, just saying out loud.
I'll just give you some credit for a second, Jess. I just think that what you've done with this podcast is innovative. It's ahead of its time. You're one step ahead of the competition. And I just take my hat off to you because you've done is you've come up with an idea, you've put in the hard yards, you've done the hard work, and it's paying off because you're very successful at what you do. So listeners, anybody who's tuning in right now, how can you stand out from the crowd? How can you show your point of difference? And how can you stay one step ahead?
Yeah. Well, thank you for those kind words. That's really lovely. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've always been curious, and again, we mentioned off air, is, you know, any success I've ever had has been looking to other industries and going, what's working in XYZ industry, in this case, Airbnb, and how do we make that relevant to our audience? Because I think there's a lot of things that have already been created that we're probably not even aware of that we could just adapt for our own purposes. And I think that's something that always has fascinated me, that concept of not invented here. Julie, I wanted to ask you about the expertise, you know, positioning yourself as an expert, because that's something that you've done very, very well. We're recording this as a video now, but it will be an audio program. So ladies and gents, you can't see this, but you know, around Julie, there's a lovely banner talking about her book, which is called Million Dollar Host, which I reckon everyone should read, because even if you don't want to get involved in Airbnb, and you probably do anyway, but even if you don't, there's tons of business lessons in there. So please grab a copy of that book. You'll love it. But I wanted to talk to you about expert status and what that means. And then how did you create that with a sense of authority and candidly knowing your stuff?
Confidence, 100%. It's confidence and just being able to, it's almost creating a persona. So it's coming up with, you know, a title, the savvy dentist, the million dollar host. It's coming up with the image that you want to reflect publicly, but you've also got to have that confidence to be able to put it out there and to give a lot of free information. I honestly implore anybody who's listening, please, if your expertise is, you know, implants or, you know, it might be, I don't know, fancy grills for your teeth or something weird and wacky, make sure you put a lot of free information out there. You can do that on social media. You can write articles for magazines. You can put press releases out to the media. Now, if it's something newsworthy and if it's relevant, so COVID-19 is so relevant, and how is it affecting your industry? Can you write an article about that? Can you talk about how you are pivoting your business to cope with COVID-19? You've got to be able to find what is the newsworthy topic at the moment, match it with your business, put it together, come up with a story. Now, when I first started my property management business, there was a glossy magazine in Cairns called City Life, and it was one that would hang around and have a very long shelf life. People would pick it up 6 months later. There was still some interesting stories in it. It had pretty pictures. You know, it was just one of those nice magazines that really was hitting the target market that I was chasing. Property investors, people that maybe own their home that would go away for long extended holidays that I could take their properties, and professionals in the marketplace. So what I did was each month for 4 months was to write an article. And it was not a self-promotion article. It was simply an article on how to get your property ready for the Christmas break so that you can Airbnb it. Mm. So it was a lot of how I can help you do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, right next to it, there was a big full-page ad promoting my services. But the whole thing was that I wanted to make people remember who I was. Mm. So it might not happen with one article. It might not happen with one podcast. But over and over again, if you hear the same name attached to information that is being given on that topic, you're going to simply remember Julie George as being the expert on Airbnb, Jesse as being the savvy dentist, you know, and the podcast that you really need to be on to promote your business. So that is the type of thing that you really need to find your expertise, believe in it, have the confidence, put it out there and share that information. And you will be surprised whether it be a YouTube video, whether it be a podcast, whether it be an article in the local newspaper, you'll be surprised at how how much work will come back to you simply by people. Well, it gives you credibility. It gives you credibility, and people want to maybe deal with people that they trust and like. And if you can create that persona out in that marketplace, you will absolutely kill it in business.
Yeah, fantastic. And again, I think the thing around that is when you position yourself as the expert, again, you know, for dentists listening to this, maybe you want to position yourself as the expert in implants or Invisalign or whatever it is you want to do, right? But when you in that position, you get a preponderance of patients coming through the door, but B, because you're the expert, you can charge a different fee structure as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of price elasticity that comes with being that go-to person. So I think, again, listening to what Julie's had to say there, I'd really recommend that if you want to be the boss of endo or ortho or any of those things, start writing, start sharing your thoughts, and as Julie said, it might not happen overnight, as the saying goes, but it will happen. So there we go. Julie, I wanted to ask you a bit about future trends. Where do you see the world going? What trends are hot at the moment beyond TikTok? What are the things that you see happening, whether it's in the property industry that you're part of or just the general business world? What are the things that you think are going to shape the future?
Yeah, very interesting question. And in fact, I did a Facebook video on this very topic, because I guess our world has changed so much with the pandemic at the moment. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And what I'd like to encourage is people not to give up hope, people to still stay optimistic about, you know, running a business and look at what interests you, but also look at what's relevant. A couple of trends that I have seen that I'm very interested to see how it all unfolds is that at the moment with the pandemic, yes, unfortunately, we're unable to travel. I look at those virtual reality goggles completely out of my skill base, but I look at those virtual reality goggles and think, right, is that our new option for travel? So maybe there's a business in that.
Maybe.
The other thing I look at is everyone is now concerned about their health, probably more than ever before. Mm. And there is a new network marketing business that I've just seen come into Australia only about 3 weeks ago. And I can't even remember the name. So people, you might have to Google this, but it's based on DNA. And it's simply a situation where you swab your DNA, you send it off to this company. It comes back with a personalized menu for your particular body type. If you want to lose weight, if you want to improve your fitness, it comes back with a fitness schedule. It talks about future, you know, health issues that you might face, all based on your DNA.
Wow.
So that's another one that's quite interesting. So there's some interesting stuff that's happening out there, but I guess look at the current situation we're in, where people are a bit scared of being in crowds. What can you come up with that is going to problem solve for that?
Mm.
And it may be already out there. It might already be something that's in Europe or America. So start Googling and start having a look and researching those areas. But it also might be something that doesn't cost a lot of money to get started. I mean, my business, I think I put $9,000 in it to start it. And, you know, I ended up selling it. I won't say how much for, but I can tell you I don't have to work anymore. So, you know, and that's within a couple of years. So folks, look at the trends, look at what's happening out there. As I said, DNA, virtual reality, they're just a couple of ideas. In MySpace, not MySpace, the social media platform. Now I'm showing my age.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a throwback.
Whoops. But in my industry, I'm looking at the changes that we're seeing for short-term rental industry is that there are a lot more travelers wanting to stay in Airbnbs than in hotels at the moment. You hear about the hotel quarantine issues. You hear about, well, you want to go somewhere where you can cook your own meals. You've got your own space. So Airbnb and short-term rentals is only going to get stronger.
Mm.
However, what I'm seeing, and this is coming from the head of Airbnb, who I had a meeting with not long ago, they were talking about the fact that they're seeing longer stays.
Mm.
So people wanting to, and what we call digital nomads, people that are traveling around the world or traveling but not having a permanent home, they might come and stay in your Airbnb for 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. Then they go to another one. But very important to have fast Wi-Fi for them, and very important to have a desk space set up.
Mm.
So little things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, I'm probably rattling on too much.
No, not at all. I think it's fantastic. No, but the thing that I really, whatever the opportunity may be, And I'll just mention one in a moment. But whatever the opportunity may be, what I really appreciate is the thought process that goes behind it. And it's about looking at the crystal ball and making, you know, joining the dots and trying to be able to say, okay, based on what we know, this is what we predict will happen. And being able to think a little fluidly about where those opportunities might be. So I really like that. On the health opportunity, I think for dentists, the fact that people are very health conscious at the moment is an absolute trend. And I think that serves the profession really well because we all understand that there's a link between, you know, oral health and general health. We all understand that people now are looking at their health differently as a result of COVID. And I think there's some flow on to dental practices. And at the moment, you know, touch wood, dentistry is going quite well, all things considered. And I think that trend that you've articulated, Julie, is a huge part of that. And I think, you know, I hope that all continues. So I think you're absolutely right. Julie, you've been incredibly generous with your time today. Ladies and gents, if you want to go and find out more about Julie and her work, A, please get a copy of her book, Million Dollar Host, and B, head across to her website, milliondollarhost.com.au, because there's some terrific resources there. And again, just what I'd really encourage you to do, as I said at the top of the interview, is this is perhaps a business that is, you know, quite different from a dental practice, but the lessons are transferable. So if you're looking at Airbnb, obviously that's a direct thing, but if you're looking for the lessons, I'd really encourage you to read through some of the things on Julie's website and read her book, because there's some real pearls of wisdom there that I know that you could apply directly to your practice with really great effects. So please do that. And of course, if you want to find Julie, hit her up on Facebook or LinkedIn, probably not TikTok by the sound of it at the moment.
No, but you never know in the future. You could see me doing a little dance here or there, but no, I would invite any of your listeners, please make contact with me. Don't be shy. Reach out. I'm happy to do, you know, have a chat to any business really. And if I can help or give you a different point of view, please let me know.
That'd be great. Julie, once again, thank you from all of us here at Savvy Dentist. You're an absolute gem. Have a great afternoon up there and looking forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.